Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Double Crossed Radio, coming to you live from the Republic of Jefferson. And in case you don't know exactly where that is, they're the counties that lie along the border between Oregon and California. And it's quite a robust place, although regulation and tyranny has kind of dampened its spirit lately. But anyway, I'm coming to you, and we are joined tonight by one of our co-hosts, Colby Olson. Colby, how you doing tonight?
I'm not too bad, Chuck. Actually, I'm in a pretty good mood right now. How are you doing?
All right. Well, that's good to have you here. And we're going to be joined a little bit later by Drew. He's going to be calling in as soon as he gets off with his other responsibilities. He was on the air for 2 hours just before we got on the air. So he's saying goodbye to all the different people, whatever, and he's going to be calling in soon, and we'll add him to the call. And we have a special guest tonight, as some of you may have known if you saw the advertisement we sent out through the Facebook page. We have Kurt Chancellor on tonight. He's a candidate for county commissioner in Jackson County here in Oregon. It's one of the counties that is part of this mythical Republic of Jefferson. And Kurt, he originally was from Texas. He left Texas in 1959 and moved here to Southern Oregon. From 1959 until 73, he lived a life in pursuit of the PhD in life, which is, I think a lot of us should do more of that and less of whatever, you know, PhD and watching sports on TV and stuff. But anyway, he achieved this through a constant adrenaline rush from fast cars, fast bikes, and bad girls, and good whiskey, and all the misadventures that combination brings to any young man's life. And I think a lot of us guys have all been there. In 73, he met and married the love of his life, Carolyn Zarozinski, and began the biggest adventure yet. And from that day to the present, his life has been rich in the form of incredible relationships, friendships, and God's gift of being a father, grandfather, and great-grandfather, patriot, and free American. In 1972, he began a small business that is still open today. In 1997, co-founded a conservative government watchdog group that created an active court watch program that logged over 1,700 hours accumulative by its membership in the courts of Southern Oregon. That's a lot of hours, in case some of you are wondering. That's a lot of hours. The lion's share of the time from 1997 until now has been in the self-education of the Constitution, law, administrative rule, and government. And one of the most rewarding parts of the last 13 years, according to Kurt, has been his involvement in citizen activism and playing a small role in assisting the U.S. Observer in its quest to hold government accountable to the people. And he's a frequent contributor to the U.S. Observer, and he writes really good stuff. It's actually, I think, some of the people have commented that it may not be as scholastic as some of the other stuff that's written out there, but people can understand it, and so they kind of get the idea more clearly by reading what he writes than maybe some of the other things that are out there that are written. So without me babbling anymore, I'm going to welcome Kurt Chancellor to the show.
Thank you, Chuck. Glad to be here.
Yes, and Kurt, let's get a little business out of the way first. You're running for, is it position number one, correct?
Yes, it is.
Yes, as a county commissioner, and this is something that we were talking a little bit before the show. This is very, very dear to my heart. You're running by not being affiliated to any political party, and that just warms my heart. You can't imagine how much. It's being involved with the local GOP has just made me ill. And I've decided as of this week, I'm no longer going to be a part of that. I'm resigning my PCP affiliation. I'm just going to drop it. I just can't do it anymore. But seeing that what you're doing and the fact that appears to be a lot of support for you makes me feel like I'm making the right choice, because there's a lot of other people out there that feel the same way, I think.
Well, a lot of people, it seems to be a security thing to belong to the two-party system. And there's a lot better things going on in some of the independent systems and the no-party affiliation candidates than our Republican and Democratic system.
Yes, and a lot of people don't realize this, but when our country was founded, there were no political parties.
That's true.
The person that got the most votes was president, and the second most was vice president. And that's what led to John Adams being president, Thomas Jefferson being vice president, and they were rivals.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Our history is so rich with so many things that when you find them out, you're just stunned. They weren't taught in school. You have to research it.
Yeah, and then people started saying, well, we have this slate of people we want you to vote for, and all of a sudden it became like you no longer had a choice. If you wanted to be friends with these people, you had to vote for these people. And instead of voting for the best guy, now you're voting for a party, per se, and the Whig Party and the, I guess they were they the Federalists, the Whigs and the Federalists,
yes.
were started, and eventually they became the Republicans and the Democrats.
What we actually had at that point in time was the Federalists and the Non-Federalists, and it was trying to be like Drew. It was the Libertarian Manifesto, and obviously I'm a registered Republican. I'm more of like a hodgepodge of everything. I'm a constitutional libertarian, conservative Republican. You know, I'm all over the place. But at the same time, I agree with people all over different spectrums, and I think that we've had a lot of fun portrayed on us by people that have too much money, and we've got people like Merkley right now who are like, oh, well, we've got to take corporations out of it. Well, that's cute, Mr. Merkley. You want to take corporations out, but do you take out lobbyists? Do you take out PACs? Do you take out unions? Do you limit the capacity for myself to vote for Kurt Chancellor on a $200 spectrum versus I'm a rich man in a $10,000 to $1 million spectrum? And we never see that. And the problem is people like Kurt, and there's a lot of other candidates that are in the same exact boat that Kurt is in, that they don't get the money because they don't fall in line with, hey, I will be controlled and I'll do what you want. And we've got this giant system of corporatocracy, if you will, that just kind of jumps in and it just doesn't stop biting. And people that really deserve the vote don't get it. They get drowned out by people. And what I have seen, though, if you will, in the primary for Republican, was we had Richardson and we had Chalstrom and five candidates total. We had some people that came in late in the race, like Chalstrom, and just a little bit of effort from people actually made a big difference. And this man got second, and what his big thing was is he was not going to not show up to an event. He would be there. And Kurt does that, I think. And I think there's other candidates that do that as well, and I think they're doing great jobs to promote actual city-based, you know, person-based topics where they come in and they say, hey, I want to talk to all of you, and I want to hear your opinions, and I will take them back and contemplate on them and come forward.
Yeah, but I think one of the things I want to say to any of our listeners out there that happen to be affiliated with the Democrat Party or the Republican Party, I want you to know it's okay to vote for Kurt. If he's the person that holds the views that you think are the ones that are most important, and I think that he's the one you should vote for. And one of the things that's happened, I think, is that I think even a lot of Republicans don't go by the things, these are the candidates anyway, don't go by the things that the Republican Party is supposed to stand for anymore.
So they don't stand by the platform.
Yeah, they don't pay any attention to it. So it's I don't know. I guess that's kind of their problem, I guess, now. It's not mine anymore. But regardless of all that, Kurt, let's get into some of the things that you do stand for and what you are all about, because I think that's going to be important to people who are going to be listening to this, either live now or later on a podcast.
Completely agree. Yeah, and there's people that are calling him a one-topic candidate because he had his issue with Jackson County.
Well, that's, yeah,
I don't agree with that.
I think that's important. Let's just start with that. Let's get into the whole story about why you got interested in the county government in the first place.
Well, I've been interested in all governments, but county government has more day-to-day effect on the lives of the people than anything. They can regulate almost every aspect of your life through their little codes or the administrative rule. And so I was very concerned when I started seeing my fellow citizens being cited for things I never felt the county had a right to cite them for. Unsightliness. You've got a couple of cars in the back. I look at that as a savings account, part of history, projects, investments. They find that unsightly. I find a lot of these guys as mates in shorts unsightly. I don't run around trying to legislate or get them to legislate ugly legs because the beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. And I think that these old cars are great. I think that home businesses are great. I think as long as there's some regulation, not a lot, there's so much to be done for our economy, for the long-term economy of our county is got to be based on something more than what government's trying to do. They want big, clean business that they can control, that they can regulate. And small businesses and home businesses are very hard for government to deal with. So the only thing they could do was eliminate them, and that's what they've done. And that's why I got involved.
Yeah, let's start with how they use this. Well, it's draconian might be a little bit dramatic term, but they use their system of rules and regulations to try and extract fees from you that you didn't.
Chuck, I could totally elaborate. I could totally elaborate on this.
Well, I think Kurt should tell the story. It's his story.
Well, it is his story, but in a sense, I mean, we've got places like White City, who's a non-incorporated city, who used to be, quote-unquote, Camp White during the internment era of the World Wars. So right now what we've got is I've got a barber shop back here that is just in the middle of nowhere, and they have signs, and they have all kinds of stuff. And they're not actually an incorporated city, so nobody does anything. There's also a gun company that is here in White City that's small. Kind of like Kurt was back when he had this transmission shop. They're just, I mean, if you didn't know they were there, you would never find them. Because the way they zoned his property back in the day, before it was established, was dual purpose. So we have a gun shop in the middle of what would be considered, if White City was Medford, it'd be considered, you know, the northern suburbs, you know, or the, sorry, eastern suburbs up towards Roxy Inn, and he's got a gun shop right there in a garage, in a shop, a little tiny little cubicle, you know, and because they don't have the incorporation of a city here, it's actually more, it's less managed. It's kind of cool, so go forth.
Now, Kurt, let's get back and talk about your story, about what happened to you, because I think this is really important. This could happen to anybody out there. It doesn't just somebody in Jackson County. Anybody across the United States can have this happen to you. So go ahead.
Well, I started my shop February the 3rd, 1972, and we had always kept a very low profile, a real clean operation. And as the business grew, we expanded a little, but really very little. And we had made our minds up to stay small, not to expand. And we found that we could do a better job and better quality contact with our customers, so we stayed small. One of my largest customers was Jackson County, the County Road Department. We had rebuilt thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars worth of transmissions for Jackson County. We had rebuilt sheriff's cars, all of the road department vehicles. So they knew we were there. They knew we were there because I was at commissioner meetings every Wednesday. I've been to more commissioner meetings than any two living commissioners. And so they felt that I think that I was a pain and they didn't want to deal with me anymore. And so when we applied for a business loan to expand our operation, clean it up more than expand it, they went to the county and the county said, we have no record of there being a transmission shop there. I went directly to my elected representatives, county commissioners, not the three that are there now, but three others. And they stated, oh, don't worry about it, Kurt, you're grandfathered. Well, we all know what grandfathered rights are. Grandfathered rights have been accepted for 235 years. And so I didn't worry about it until I received a citation in the mail. And when I got the citation, I went down there, and it began a year and a half process of just arguing. And finally, they said, if you do not shut your business down, we're going to cite you, and we'll pull you into our administrative court. And another thing, too, Chuck, I had been working since 2003 to eliminate this administrative system that stole your constitutional rights. Yeah, your right to a jury trial is gone when you're dealing with the county. Your right to an elected judge is gone. Your right to an appeals process is gone, which leaves you on land use issues and land use regulations. You have no capability to fight that to the Supreme Court. It doesn't exist. You have an administrative hearings officer that will hear it, and from there, you have another administrative office from the state that will hear it, and you're done. And they had the ability to fine you $10,000 a day for noncompliance. So I took them very serious. They did take me into their little administrative tribunal. They denied me all the things that I mentioned. I asked for a jury trial. No. I asked for an elected judge. No. I asked to stand and face my accuser. They said there had been a complaint. No. I asked for an appeals process to the Supreme Court. No. Now that we've got that out of the way, here's what you need to do. You need to give us $1,190, non-refundable. And we will put this in front of our developmental board here in Jackson County, and they will decide whether you were a legal business when you started your business in 1972. And basically, I refused. I told them that I was there before legislation under Senate Bill 100 that gave them the ability to create land use regulations. I was there before that, a year and 4 months. A license for my shop was not required in 1972. It's not required today. And that I would not, well, I won't tell you what I told them. I just told them I wouldn't do it. And I'd rather be out of business than pay their extortion. And from write this day down, it's going to be real important for you. I will attack you until these regulations are restored or I'm no longer around. It's that simple. And that's where we are now.
See, Kurt, here's the thing is a lot of people are trying to I'm trying to drum support for every candidate that deserves any credibility at all. And I'm sitting here looking at every candidate, and I get criticisms from all the people that are candidates also. So, like, earlier, right before we started the show, I sat on the phone with Kurt Angerberg, for an hour, and he yelled about, you're a one-topic candidate. What the people need to hear is your other topics besides this. Because we all know if we're informed or if we're involved with people who are informed, what your issue was, and that's definitely something we know. I know from talking to you and a lot of different candidates personally that none of you at all are one topic candidates. There are Chamber of Commerce-owned candidates, but the other ones besides that select like few are not. So what are your other issues with the county legally or in any means based on your beliefs and what you feel that are not in line with this exact topic? Because I know that you've got a lot of support. Other people have a lot of support in different areas. It just depends on what spectrum they fall on. But I think that people, for some silly reason, they think that you're just running to trounce that issue. And I, trounce that issue, I definitely support it 100%. But I know you're not just a one-topic candidate. So please, can you explain some more of the issues you see?
Well, Kobe, somebody would have to be deaf, dumb, and blind to think that I was a single issue. I've been at this 20 years. I and my group exposed the corruption in Jackson County. Bob Grindstaff was our head man of our community justice. The stuff that we exposed wound up in his expulsion from his job. We discovered illegal dumping and went after the county. It wound up in the gentleman who was the head of the county road department. He was the head of planning department, and he was the head of parks and recreation. And we began to try to put him in prison, because he shot an elk out of season up here in Union Creek and used a county road crew to come and get it. Now, by any standard, that's about $1,200 an hour, I was told, to have that crew up here trying to recover an elk. Our county commissioners did not deal with that. He should have been arrested, he should have been jailed, and he should have went to trial. They did an in-house, and the way they did the in-house settlement was, they had him call in about 400 people that worked for under him and apologize to them. Not to the public, but to the employees. He wound up without a job. And the deal we made with the county, not to push it any further, was that all three of the jobs he had before would be divided between three other people. We went after a deputy district attorney that took 3 years to get him lose his job, disbarred. Now, the issue I was just talking about is not a single faceted issue. How can somebody think for one second that creating a unconstitutional system from beginning to end and denying everyone they cite our constitutional due process rights is a single issue?
Yeah, I want to just interrupt for a second, Kurt. I don't want to interrupt very long because you're doing great. But I want to tell everybody out there, if you don't have this right to a trial, I mean, this is no different than the Stalin show trials in the 1930s in Soviet Russia. This right is the basics. It's one of the foundations of all of our freedoms. None of these other issues matter if you aren't free. If you're a slave, what difference does it make? They can just make a regulation and put you full in front of some show guy that's going to say, well, you're guilty, you have to pay this, or you're going to have to spend 3 years in a slave camp. So all those other issues just pale in comparison to this issue. This is the most important issue. He's the only one that's right on it. Okay, go ahead, Kurt.
Chuck, you've got a great issue, actually, and Drew can chime in on this. I'm building that silly little pond out front because I like koi fish. I can't eat them. I'm not going to make any money off them. I possibly could later on if they breed. But have I gotten a county charter for it? Have I gone to code enforcement and said, hey, can I build a pond? No, because I know in my right mind that there used to be a house here for a well. So when you actually pass the bill to build the house behind mine, and somehow you let this trailer down the road that's on a quote-unquote same party have a well in my front yard.
Colby, I hate to interrupt you, but we invited Kurt on here to talk about Kurt's issues because he's the one running for county commissioner, not Colby Olson. So let's have Kurt answer these things, okay? Let's have Kurt talk about these issues and not your pond. I'm sorry. You've taken up about two-thirds of the time so far in the first half hour. It's not what I intended this show to be about today. So, sorry, Kurt. My apologies. I should have taken control a little earlier. Now, there are obviously some other issues that are going to be important. But this issue of the courts and the non-courts, really what it is to me the most important one. And I think this is really important, I think, for people that are outside Jackson County. If you're in New York somewhere, this is happening to you too. This is all across the United States this is happening. Administrative justice, and it isn't justice at all. It's tyranny. So go ahead, Kurt.
Well, you know, a lot of our articles in the U.S. Observer, people don't understand what the U.S. Observer does. I traveled to Fort Wayne, Indiana, and went to Auburn, Indiana, and with my editor, and we investigated a judge, a district attorney, and a sheriff that worked as one. And when you cross swords with these people, the only thing you can be sure of is that you're going to get a lot of jail time. They never lose. And that was just one. Two years ago, I was sent to Boulder, Colorado, and the JonBenet Ramsey group there is still alive and well. Some of the law enforcement, district attorneys, and judges that botched that thing is messing the lives of people every day. What bothers me the most is the ignorance of our citizens about their rights. The most important thing they have is that Constitution. And they talk about, well, the Constitution, it's old news, it's an outdated document. You know, that Constitution is nothing more, nothing less than a little Norman law. And the rights of Englishmen as they existed in 1776, and a little Roman law, the Ten Commandments in no more than an adhesive to stick it all together. And what it does, when used, it prevents man from doing what is inherently the nature of man when he has power over others. That document was created for no other reason than to protect us from the very people these idiots keep voting into office and letting them steal their rights. And, you know, I love people. I love my country. I love my fellow man. But I find it so hard day to day to deal with people that we want to be able to pass at least some version of an IQ test. We can't even find people that can pass a urine test in our county. Our priorities are so screwed up from top to bottom. And when I hear these people get up and criticize me and the people that have been busting their backsides for 20 years to protect other citizens that have no defense, it makes me sick. And I don't have very much patience with them. Now, if I am fortunate enough to be elected to this office, I have been studying this office for 25 years. I never thought I would hold it. I was not going to run until I seen who is running. And I've never seen so many empty suits in my life. These people have nothing to offer but more of the same. So, I don't know. I'm very frustrated with our voters. Now, when I started this, all of the people started coming to me and asking me to run. And they were Democrats, Republicans, Independents, and they all said the same thing. My party doesn't represent me anymore. I've been a conservative. I came out of the womb a conservative. I've always been a conservative. But I'm a little touch of environmentalist because there's a reason that they didn't build an outhouse next to a kitchen. And you can't poop where you eat, so to speak. You've got to take care of your country. You've got to take care of your environment, our water. And the EPA, it's done a lot of good things in the beginning. But right now, the EPA and the DQ of Oregon is bent on destroying this country. And all you have to do is just look around. We have a lawyer running, a young lady. We have a car salesman slash lawyer wannabe running. What are they going to offer? 72% or 77% of every serious office that holds any power in this country is controlled by a lawyer. Now, how's that worked for us so far? I think we need to try something different. My style of leadership is not like anything these people have ever seen. Our county is in great shape financially. Mr. Jordan, even though I differ with a few things with him, he's done a real good job of the finances of our county. I'm not talking about the county. When I refer to the people, our economy, the people in Jackson County are hanging on by their fingernails, but our government, Jackson County, is in bad shape, or in good shape. The private side of our county is just dying out. And something has to be done to represent the people for a change. We got enough people representing government. We need someone to represent the people. And that's what I'm about. That's what I intend to do. That's the reason I've studied the law. I've studied and written articles about administrative rule. I've been investigating this county for 18 years. And if I could get everyone that has told me about the illegal and the corruption, the illegal acts and the corruption going on in this county, would ever talk on the record, there'd be a whole lot of empty seats up there. And all I can tell you is I know this government, I think, better than anyone. Mr. Ankberg, I'm not sure who he is. I tried to find him. I typed in his name, and first thing that jumped up on my screen was an article that didn't speak very well of him and his threats against the Chris Walker and some of the women there. I don't really have a lot to say. Somebody that would, you know, threaten some women, I don't know what that was all about. I'll leave that up to the people that had me look at it and find out what it was about. I just lost all interest in it. So I'm not interested in Mr. Ankberg. I don't like his style. I'd be interested in debating him. In fact, I would be really interested in debating them all. I don't know how easy that's going to be to put together. So
at this point in time, you actually have that opportunity. We're going to be putting together a debate with a different group that I'm involved with, and we're trying everything we can to get it done. But some people just aren't biting onto the hook. So we'll see what we can do, man. And I'm going to be as nonpartisan, even though I have my own opinions on that. And we'll see what we can get for all of you to debate each other, because I think that's the best reform for everyone, is when the people sit there and look at the candidates and decide and they debate together. That's what should happen, and that's my opinion of it. I mean, if you got all the candidates there and they're all debating against each other, if you leave there and you have an opinion about a candidate, that's because you feel that you strongly agree with that candidate. So I think a lot of people will agree with that.
Okay. Yeah, and I think, Colby, that's great. If you can continue on with that, I think that would be a very good service to Jackson County to organize that. One of the things that you have a responsibility for as a county commissioner would be to establish budgets and kind of oversee the different departments budgetarily. And I think you have to work with Danny Jordan in that respect. But you said earlier, I think they said that you would prefer a smaller government. And working with budgets, are there some things, but even though we are in good fiscal shape, are there some things that you think government shouldn't be doing and we should eliminate or drastically cut back their responsibilities to lower levels?
Well, you know, Chuck, everybody that runs for office always blows out, well, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do this. And one reason they don't do it once they get there, because they didn't know what they were talking about. They're not going to know what they're talking about until about 6 months into that job. That's when they need to talk about what they're going to do, because it takes that long to find out. I've watched a lot of good men and women go into those positions, and I thought for years that these people contaminated those offices. They don't. It's the offices that contaminate them. By the time these people realize what's going on, they're already corrupt. And in what you were talking about the issues, I can work with anybody. I've been in business 40 years. And the thing I've learned about big businesses and little businesses, for the most part, it's decimal points and zeros are the difference. You're dealing with people. You're dealing with needs. You're dealing with things that must be dealt with. And that's common sense to any businessman that's lasted over 5 years. Government is not business. There's some things you can get rid of, and there's some things you can't. I've always been interested in taking a strong look at privatizing a lot of things that you don't have to have government for. You're going to take away not having to pay a lot of retirement, a lot of insurance, a lot of perks that you won't have to pay, because those people, their jobs no longer exist. They're in the private sector now. And there's a lot of people that are going to retire. And as they retire, we don't necessarily have to replace them. I think that any government can be trimmed down and be a lot more effective. The things I want from government, I want it small. I want it efficient. I want it accountable. And I want it absent of the people's lives wherever possible. A lot of people can't live without government. They have to have it. And we have to have government. But we can sure control it. What has happened right now is our administrative officers are in charge of the county, not our elected official. They're a bunch of head shakers and signers. I deal with them all of the time. And for the most part, the people we have had, they're nice guys. Other than the fact that they're a joke, anything that Danny offers, boy, they can't wait to sign. There would be a lot of things that I would definitely want to discuss with Mr. Jordan and the other department heads. They may not be anything there to change, but I know that policy can be changed. I don't like the idea that Danny can write a $5 million check if there's not two commissioners in town for a quorum. I don't like the fact he can enter into I was told it was $3 million, into contract with other private businesses for services if two or more of the commissioners are out of town, there's not a quorum. I just don't think elected people should have that kind of authority.
I think you meant unelected?
Unelected, yes.
Yeah. Interrupt one more time here. I forgot to do this after the last pause. We've been joined by Drew. And Drew, welcome. We missed you here. I'll give you a chance to turn on your microphone. Do you have any questions for Kurt?
Yeah, I was just thinking of some, and I didn't want to be redundant because I missed the first segment of the show. We're wrapping things up with Jefferson Republic Radio that was on just before our Double Cross Radio here. One of the big beefs that I have with the Jackson County government in particular is this issue of what people can and cannot do with their land and the county's authority or so-called authority to issue permits. I don't want to get into a long story about this, but my family had some issues years ago where they had an infill project. They wanted to fill in a low-level area of their pasture land, and got a permit from the county. And actually, the county was bringing in some of the fill dirt that they'd clean out of the ditches and the tap project that went up Highway 99. Most of that dirt went into the fill and everything. And then some greenies freaked out and decided that the state the DSL needed to be involved because they felt that there was a wetland that was being filled in. And, you know, and I looked up all the laws, you know, governing wetlands, and the county was responsible for having a database of all the wetlands within its boundaries so that it could have the ability to issue a permit to fill in a low-lying area. But so they issue this permit, then the state overrides it. And anyway, the long and the short of it is that a section of the property ended up being declared a wetland, and you know, we can't disturb the native soil. And then we see a similar thing happen with Pastor Gary Harrington, you know, with his water reservoir, where he had a permit, you know, for his reservoir, and then the county revokes the permit. And this is just, you know, very, very troubling with government thinking that it has the authority to tell people what they can and can't do with their property. This is a precedent that I think needs to stop. It's something that we need to work on. And, you know, if you're doing something that is not interfering with your neighbors, well, you should be allowed to do it. And, you know, and if your neighbors have a problem, well, then they could sue you. And so, I guess my question to you is that do you think that the county, you know, I'd say reckless and sloppy with this authority, you know, to issue permits and revoke permits and so on and so forth?
Yes, Drew, I do. I've had so much dealings with the county on issues that a lot of times when people are trying to get something through, it is a foreign land to them. And so we have helped, and our group has helped hundreds of people get their permits. In fact, Dave and Jean Woolman had came down from Alaska, and they wanted to build a home. And they had plenty of acreage. They just couldn't get anywhere. And we had to do interviews with the public down there, with the county, and we interviewed the public coming out of the courthouse. We created some articles and one thing and another, and then as citizens, we've got about 25 or 30 citizens to start going in down there, calling every day, two or three times a day, until you can just almost paralyze that office. And guess what? We finally, and it didn't take the 6 or 8 months, we wound up in 3 months of getting the permits to put in the sewer and the well. They had been trying for over a year. When the public gets together with government, as a county commissioner, it would give me the bully pulpit to raise these issues. I agree with what you're saying. I can't see anywhere that the Constitution gives anyone the authority to tell you what you can do on your land. Now, obviously, we have to have regulation. We have to have standards that we build by. But what we've got is ridiculous. And some of the things we can change, if I held that position, you have to have a like-minded commissioner. It takes two. And so you've got someone else running. I think that they're going to be an automatic win. I just think they're going to sail right through it. And That candidate and I agree on a lot of things. If you want to pass a new county ordinance, well, pick three you want to get rid of. Mm-hmm. Because we're not going to put one in until we get rid of three that are either hurting us or have no real effect, and yet they're costly. Mm-hmm. We can do that. We can get rid of a lot of things. I talked to Mr. Bridenthal. I like to think of him personally. I like to think of him as Danny Jordan's caddy, but that's for another time. I think that we can go around him on a lot of issues, especially involving land use issues. You right now, it's hard for people to realize, we had a fire and it took out a telephone pole. We wanted to put that telephone pole back in. So we went to the county, and I told them I wanted to get a permit, put the pole up. So she, the lady, typed me up a permit and told me that it was $5.12. I don't remember the amount. And I said, now that's all it costs to get the permit for this? And she said, oh, no. You have to have a permit to apply for the permit, put the pole in. So I said, are you telling, is this a joke? She said, no, no. You have to have a permit to be able to apply for the permit put polling.
Application permit.
Yes. It was
only surreal. Government could think of this.
Yeah, it's just surreal. There's a lot of things you can change. And we not only can, we will, if we're elected to that office. However, a lot of things that we cannot because they're state and federal. And some of them I'm not sure you'd want to get rid of. I think they deal with, to a certain degree, public safety, and that you're not going to be buying a home that is substandard down the road or dangerous for your family. Those things we have to take into consideration. But as far as I'm concerned, the state is going to have to be fought. And I don't think the county alone can do it. But I think that the public rising up and working with an elected official in a high office like the commissioners can make some incredible dents in their armor.
That was really, really well said. We mentioned earlier that this county is actually in pretty good financial shape, that they have some money in a rainy day fund, and Danny Jordan has been very good at getting grants to fund all sorts of different programs, but a lot of these programs seem to come with strings attached. I, for one, think it might be better to do with a little less money and a lot fewer strings. How do you feel about this?
Well, I agree. The one thing we need to remember, when we can eliminate the strings or make them moot, that's our tax money too. So when we can make sure that the strings are moot in the way they will affect the freedoms and the rights of the people, I don't see anything wrong with taking a grant. At the same time, we are so, our administrator and the staff have never, I don't think they've ever met a grant they didn't like. I just don't think we're taking a strong enough look. Danny Jordan is a very smart guy. We've got a lot of very smart people running the administrative part of our government. Very smart. I only want to relieve them of some of their power. I don't want to relieve them of their intelligence, of their ability to do their job. And I think they can keep us solvent, and I don't think that's an issue. But I just don't want it done on the backs of the people when there's other ways to do it. As long as we can maintain our county and the good, solid financial shape it's in, I want to do everything I can to do that. But I also want to take every burden off of the backs of the small businessmen and the people. And we're not going to know what we can get away with until the fight starts. And if I'm elected, I promise you there's going to be a fight.
I hope you are elected. I would like to be in on that. We had as guests on the radio a couple times, Loma Wharton and Ray Kapitka. I forget the name. County Sheriff's Association or the Sheriff's Association of America, something like that. Drew, help me out. anyway.
You're talking about the National Constitutional Sheriff's Association.
That's what I'm talking about. And they were talking about a county in Arizona, Apache County, that had a lot of the similar problems that we had. They had lost a lot of their ability to harvest their lumber due to federal and state regulations, and these were public lands. And they decided that they should do something about it. So they went into the law books, and they found out that there were certain regulations that they weren't following that would if they were to follow this, would lead to more timber being harvested. Like there's every highway should have timber cut back to so many feet away from the highway as a fire break, and you should go through and periodically thin the forest and clear out underbrush. And if they would do that, that they could harvest a substantial amount of lumber. In fact, they are doing it, and they're keeping one mill in operation just from all these. These are really just following the law that has been written by Congress, and so there are no. They win in court if anytime someone tries to stop them because they're just following the law, and they're actually have produced, I don't know, maybe 1,000 jobs down there in Apache County that weren't there before. That's 1,000 people that were on the street that now are working, and they're able to provide for a family. It solved a lot of other problems they had in their community. When the county commissioners here said they were going to look into it, they had their staff attorney or somebody call one of the people in Apache County, and he came back and said, well, there's really not anything going on down there. He actually lied about the content of that conversation. Ray and Loma later called that person and says, yeah, I didn't say any of that stuff. I told them things were going great. We're not harvesting a ton of lumber, but we're keeping a mill busy, and we're keeping all these people employed. And there's he didn't report on any of that. Would you, as a commissioner, reopen that investigation and find out what's going on in Apache County and present that to the people of Jackson County, not just the commissioners, but to the people?
Well, anything that I find as a commissioner that doesn't involve things that we, by law, cannot tell you, you will be told. I don't believe in secrecy. You can tell from talking to me. You ask me a question, you don't get the filtered version. I say what I think, and I mean what I say. And we're going to have government's going to have help from citizens. I think they have a lot of help right now from the wrong citizens. Look at the citizens that are on these advisory boards and these commissions. Look at a list of the membership that they are to other organizations. They might as well be paint them all green, even the ones that think that they're conservatives. They all represent control through the environment and through the property rights. If we were put into that office, I would like to put together a commission that didn't do anything but investigate why the government is controlling state properties and calling them government properties. I do not believe, and I've looked at that Constitution and I've read that part of it until I've wore the pages out on it, and I don't see anywhere there that government can own land, federal government, except one. And it has to be purchased by the federal government through the state legislature. And it specifies what for. Post offices, ports, munition storage, magazine arsenals, and other needful buildings. They have no right to that property, and I want it back. And a lot of other people in the counties do. But one thing you got to remember, all you have to do is look at our charter. It says that the commissioners are agents of the state. And so as an agent of the state, we're limited some. But I think that the people past and present use it as an excuse not to do anything. I believe that the Association of Counties, I believe that they are a machine that is just dying to be tuned up, especially the ones that could enjoy timber revenues. And I've seen printouts of some of the conversations and some of the meetings, readouts from those meetings. And we have a lot of brothers and sisters out there that want the same thing we do. We want our land back, and we want the back money that you owe us for it. And we want it now. And if not, we get to see them in court.
I think that would be a good thing for the whole country. I think actually the government would back down because they've been in that court before and lost.
Well, you have to have enough people, you know.
Yeah.
We're back again. You know, I noticed a long time ago in our court watch meetings, when we would go, we would get a call from some of our people, and they would say, you know, Kurt, these people are getting railroaded. And we had the ability at that time to put 70 to 80 people in that courtroom. When we did that, we watched the whole face of that court change. Having people in there they don't pull that crap that they pull when you're out there alone. You know, it's interesting to me that our federal government, when the Constitution was created, they knew that they were the biggest enemy of the people and their freedoms and their ability to control their destiny. And they knew that. And they knew that every time that we go to court with government, that they're going to arrive there with a disproportionate amount of power that we don't have. And that a jury trial by the men and women of our community, informed jurors, was what we were given, and the Bill of Rights. And unless we come back to that Constitution, we're doomed. That's the only fight we have, is the courts that are guaranteed by our Constitution and our ability to address the government, to protest, and to have an opinion and put it out there for everybody to see. We have the internet, and God bless you for what you're doing here tonight. Yeah. As we grow, you're starting to become a source of knowledge for the, especially the young men and women out there.
Well, we hope so.
I salute you for it.
Well, thank you. The I think to all you people listening to this broadcast, you want to realize these rights that you have, they don't come from government. They're natural rights. You own them. They're yours. And if you don't stand up for them, if you don't stand up for your own rights, there are people out there that will just say, well, you don't have them anymore, and then you just go along with it and you don't have them anymore. But if you stand up, if you stand together, if you get together with people of like minds, and you change people's minds because they can see how their lives are not as worth as much as they were before due to these erosion of these rights, then you will start to change things. But if you just sit there and say, well, someone's got to do something for me, it's never going to happen. You have to start doing it for yourself.
And this is
and
true.
Kurt did this. He went up there and he put his business on the line because he was being basically as something that a mafia organization would do, you know, making you buy fire insurance or we're going to burn your building down. It's almost the exact same thing that was happening to him in his transmission business. This is a business that the county spent hundreds of thousands of dollars in having their vehicles serviced. And we just have a few more minutes, so I'd like to end the show here with an apology to Colby. I really feel I was just a little frustrated. Colby, I hope you accept this apology. I was way out of line with what I said. And Kurt, I want to thank you for being on the show. You're awesome. And anybody that needs to know more about him, KurtChancellor.com, or is that what it is, or is it?
Yes, sir.
And it's C-H-A-N-C-L-E-R, Chancellor, not Chancellor.
Irish spelling,
yeah. And we posted a thing in our chat about the whole story about the transmission shop. Guys should read that. And this is not just for the people in Jackson County. All of you should read it. This is what can happen in any county in America. If you let the wrong people have that power over you, it's going to be used against you. So that's all there is to it. Well, the music's going to start. Thank you, Drew, for joining us. I know you had a long day on the radio today.
And, yeah, 3 hours.
Yeah. And thank you again, Kurt. And we'll see you all next week. Next week is the anniversary of 9/11. We're going to have Jeff Berwick on as a special guest. And we're going to talk about the 9/11 inside job and all that goes with it. So see you next week.